Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That Hugh is crazy.
He is crazy. Hey, man, hope you're having a great day, guys. It's been a busy day on the program. As you guys know, bunch of guests have stopped by each and every day. You just never know who's going to come by and join us here on the show. And, you know, tomorrow, for example, we will do a preview of the Bucks game with Chuck Smith. Jason Longshore is set to join us tomorrow. We got Tony Gwynn Jr. to talk some baseball with us. It's going to be a busy, busy show, just like today. And if you're just joining us, a couple of things going on the show today. One, reacting to some comments from Dean Pease, and we'll let you hear one more audio cut that he had to say, or that he said today, in regards to the defense and some of the things that, you know, he's looking forward to. But also today, we had a chance to talk to Ross Tucker, and Ross was just saying the offensive line, this is not just our perspective. I think you guys realize this, but it's also what some of the national folks are saying and looking at. And Ross was like, look, he does Eagles pregame and stuff, and he was like, I don't know what's going on up front with you know, Mayfield and some of these guys. Mm-hmm. Guys have to play better. If you missed the interview, go check it out at Odyssey.com. But he spent quite a bit of time talking to us about what he saw.
I mean, and you've seen some of these video breakdowns that Brian Baldinger's done and other guys, and other people just went back themselves. And, you know, like our buddy, you know, Hot Take Tommy, you know, Tommy Mott, you're just taking back on the TV on the DVR and breaking down some of the situations on the line of scrimmage. It's just, it's frightful, for lack of a better word, you know.
Hot Take did that?
Hot Take did that. I actually retweeted what Hot Take did yesterday.
How about that?
That's when Matt hit Freddie in the feet when he missed Russell Gage wide open in the end zone. But that's the thing I said yesterday talking to some listeners. I get it. Matt is, for whatever reason, because he isn't a certain type of quarterback that people never warm to him because he's a businesslike guy who does his job. You know, it is not a razzle dazzle. Whatever. We're done arguing about that. But I will say this. When you've got rookies like Jalen Mayfield and you've got guys learning defenses and not knowing what they're doing, you expect a guy making $900,000 maybe to screw up once or twice, or a rookie to screw up. The franchise quarterback cannot screw up. Franchise quarterback has got to elevate his game for the other players around the team. And Matt did not do that on Sunday. And I don't care who says, oh, you're picking on Matt. Watch the freaking tape, okay? Yes, Matt was pressured, but there were times there were plays to be made, and Calvin Ridley dropped a ball, and Mike Davis dropped a ball, and Matt Ryan missed a wide-open receiver for a touchdown, which changes the complexion of the pressures that's put on Philadelphia early in the game. And that's if you're going to beat Tampa Bay in time, then you're going to have to up his game.
Everybody is. Again, it's all connected, Mike. Knee bone connected to the 404-741-0929.
Never winning a Super Bowl with Matt and Julio. Let me say that again.
That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can text us. Find us on social media, man. We want to interact. Want to hear from you guys as well. He is Mike Bell, AATL. I may put him up. See Dukes. And this radio show, Dukes and Bell, 929. The radio show is Dukes, or should I say 929. The game is the radio station.
Squid Billy's lighting me up right now.
About what?
Allegedly someone appropriating other people's videos for use and dissemination on Twitter. Oh, yeah. I'll leave it at that. Anyway, brother, guys are reacting. I will say this, and I did a meme with the Angry Birds. Everybody's so hot right now. Everybody is beside themselves. Yeah.
That's why I asked you if Hot Take did that, because he didn't. Yeah, he just retweeted somebody's stuff. It's all good, though. I'm not mad at him. I do you. Hey, man, let's get to the top three.
It's time for the top three at six.
Top three at six.
Now let's see what we have here.
Hey, man, top three
at
six.
By the way, don't tell Zeno, Carl. He might get an investigation going.
This is true. Top three at six brought to you by New Realm Brewing this summer. Hey, mix things up. They've got the great IPAs like Hazy Like a Fox, Hoptropolis IPA. Track them down near you using the Beer Finder. Coming up, you will hear the interview in its entirety. Arthur Smith, who joined us yesterday, he'll join us on Wednesdays, guys. But such good information, I think. And again, you may not like the answers, but that's part of this, right? I mean, part of it is you might not like what he said, but you have to respect that he's the coach and he thinks he's got a hold on things. So we'll let you hear that coming up here in about 15 minutes. Let's start, though, with Brian Snicker talking about the Braves. Today, guys, game postponed. It will be rescheduled. At least that's what MLB is saying. Mm-hmm. But last night, Mike Snicker was like, we had guys in scoring position all night.
Even before extra innings, I mean, we had guys on. We just couldn't get a hit. I mean, we had a lot of opportunities and just couldn't get a big hit.
Yep. Rosario with the big fly, the home run. We left 12 men on base last night. And you can't do that against anybody, period. So that's what Snicker's talking about. And Inoa, and I know that he's supposed to be, as Alex Anthopoulos said, one of the four guys that will be going down the stretch into the postseason. But, I mean, can somebody in this freaking team give me seven innings?
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
I'm not asking you.
Maybe.
You know, I mean, Matzik did his job. Chavez did his job. Luke Jackson struck out the side. But, just sometimes, I don't know, man. Maybe I just, I'm caught in the 70s and 80s and 90s. Well, shoot. I got to see Smoltz and Glavin and Maddox. I mean, guys used to go eight innings in this town. It's like a lost art.
It was expected. No, it was. It was expected. If you were going to be a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball, that was the expectation. Well,
the thing is, just real quick, if you were a Braves fan of a certain age, even Rick Mailer would go eight or nine. You know what I'm saying? The guys who weren't even that good would give you seven or eight innings, you know? Yeah. I mean, shoot, I watched Nino Espinosa, and I knew he was good for seven and two-thirds or eight. But anyway, it just frustrates you. And when things last night, it just compounds because the Braves just couldn't pick up their pitching staff with leaving 12 guys on base. Stupid meathead!
We will see... when this game is made up. Braves are on their way to San Francisco for three games there. And then at Arizona, okay, for four. That's next week. And then at San Diego before having that off day on the 27th, if they get it. Because now you go, all right, is that the day they make the game up? I haven't looked at the Rockies' schedule, so I'm not sure what MLB is going to do there.
You don't want to pick up a game in Denver because you can't do that. It's a completely different dynamic.
Yeah, I totally agree. So you got to come back home. They got to make it here. We will see how that all plays out. Meanwhile, what about Atlanta?
United!
Action at the goal to our right. Barca was to the left of the ball. Araújo to the right of it, about 35 yards away. Now Araújo directing traffic. He's up to the ball. He's going to pitch to the penalty spot. And it's Joseph with the header to score! And Atlanta United has taken a 2-0 lead here in the 40th minute. A beautifully worked set piece by the Five Stripes.
Oh, man, there were so many good things happening last night. I mean, it just, if you watch the game, and unfortunately because the midweek does keep some folks away and the weather obviously was crappy and traffic, et cetera, but I remember the same crowd that they had at Truist, you had at Mercedes, Carl, you missed a sublime performance. Everything was awesome. Everybody had beautiful goals. Everything was like a video game. Araújo lights it up.
Araújo with a shot! Score!
I mean, it was just perfect. We spoke with Brooks Lennon earlier, guys. That interview was online at Odyssey.com. But, Carl, I mean, it was reminding you of like 18 and 17 when everything was just there was trips down where we've got so much speed and skill. And NFC Cincinnati sucks, but we took advantage of a lesser opponent like a good team is supposed to do. DC United, Saturday, 3:30. Carl, it was beautiful.
For Neil, for me, there's a couple of things that I really am enjoying right now. One is our stars are playing like stars. Joseph, two goals. It's kind of what you expect. Like, he's back. The injury and the slow start, and we're working him in the training. And he's back. I mean, he looks like Joseph. Araújo, Mike, you talked about it. He's come in here, and when we get these guys and we go, man, you got to see the tape. Last night, it looked like the tape.
Oh.
It looked just like you go, did you just see him do what he did? And then the free kick by Barco. Barco, guys, for what it's worth, okay, and I know everybody hasn't necessarily been down for Barco, but Barco, since August, has been involved in 9 of the 15 goals scored. He is playing, Mike, like we thought he would. When you said he was young when he got here, and maybe he's finally coming to his own.
He's healthy. I mean, Jason Longshore has told us this all summer. He's finally healthy, and he's playing with confidence. He's also not getting mugged. I mean, the refs are still clueless in MLS. And, you know, guys, the way to beat us, and it started with DeBoer's team, they just start beating us up. But Barco is in space, and everybody else, because they're in space and so quick, we've just got this pace element, as Brooks Lennon told us. Our first free kick goal since Kevin Kratz, Carl, against Montreal in 2018.
Well, you remember that kick? I don't know if you remember. Everybody was like, Kratz, why does he get the free kick? And he kicked it in. Yeah, it was beautiful. So
I mean, I wish more people would get out there, because I know it was a really ugly start to this season, but it is, I'm telling you, man, the last three matches I've gone to have just been so much fun. It's like the old Atlanta United we fell in love with.
Barco is the only man standing over the ball. He's up to it. He strikes it. He goes for goal. He scores!
Yeah, Barco is playing really well. And the big thing is, all right, give credit where credit's due. Gonzalo Pineda has these guys buying into whatever he's preaching.
They love him.
And he's putting guys in position to be successful. So, to me, that's the most important thing. Now we are in the seventh spot in the Eastern right? Conference, Mike. And that, to me, we're in the playoff line. We're right there. We could continue to move down. I'd like to try to end up fourth to get a home match. You know, but we'll see how things play out.
Yeah, man. And DC United, that's a team. We'll get Cyril buddy Julian Gressel, but that's a team, again, where you can start leapfrogging people, to your point, Carl. Get that game. Gonzalo Pineda will be on with Randy and Andy. What time, Chris, tomorrow? About 12:20. So hear from our coach. Nice. I also like the fact he wears suits on the sideline. That's where you should do it, Carl.
Very nice. All right. Can't wait to hear what Gonzalo's got to say. And he's been embracing the community, too, which I dig. I like those things. All right. Last but not least, Matt Ryan talking about facing the Bucks. He's not sugarcoating this. He's not, you know, making it more or less than what it is. Here's Matt Ryan.
I think they're really good front seven. You know, a defensive line, you know, that's strong on the inside. They've got talented edge rushers, good edge setters in the run game, two athletic linebackers, guys we've played against a lot in the past. We know how talented and how good of players they are. And
yeah. it's pretty simple, to be honest with you. But as I said, and I'll get back to this tomorrow, I'm not going into Tampa shaking in my boots and scared of how bad we're going to get beat. We're men, they're men. Let's go see what we've got. And if we put a good game together at the end of the day, let's look up and see what the score is. And that's kind of where I'm at with this. I understand the Bucks will be favored. I understand they're supposed to win the game, and they probably will. But it's the NFL, and I'm not going to be short-sighted of that and say that we'll show up and get smoked. As bad as things looked in week one, it would not surprise me that this team scores and we look a lot better, not just once, multiple times, but we look a lot better than we did in week one. But I don't know if it's going to be good enough for the win, Mike. And that's the thing. Right. Is it going to be good enough for the W?
But how much better does a Jalen Mayfield get in 7 days? That's my question. How much better does a Matt Hennessy get in 7 days? I'm not trying to be a, you know, Debbie Downer, but that's where the improvement has to occur. It's got to, Carl, yes, as Jim Mandich would say, look at that man in the mirror. You know, those are the guys who've got to get the job done. Hey, one other headline. We haven't talked much about this today. Everybody now has to go and deny, Carl, that they're interested in the USC job. Have you seen this? You had Gus Malzahn down there at UCF saying, I love Orlando, so he's happy down there. We've already heard coaches like Urban Meyer, DeMullen have had to say that they're not interested in the USC job. But let me throw a name at you, which is pretty interesting. He's been a college offensive coordinator. He has recruited, and he can't get any respect in the NFL. So what about Eric Bieniemy to USC?
Interesting. I think he wants to be
He definitely wants to be an NFL head coach. But what do you think, though? I mean, if it's, you know, Pete Carroll turned it into an, and you could always go back to the pros at some point, too.
No doubt. I mean, if you can go, the element of college, see, we're getting the reversal with Urban Meyer right now. Urban's trying to treat this like college, but it's not. And then when you go back to college, all the things you have to deal with. And I'm going to add one more that just came about. NIL. NIL is a whole new realm for coaches to say, hey, how much am I monitoring my players, or should I monitor them? Or, okay, well, they can make money. And, you know, and then you got, you know, the folks at the universities trying to make sure that they're on top of this. That's a whole new element on top of all the other BS. So I don't know about Bieniemy. I believe that he wants to be an NFL coach. I'm not, you know, spoken with anybody that knows him after last season, in the offseason. But I will tell you, I am leaning, and I keep hearing, and I keep thinking about, after this was told to me yesterday, that Luke Fickell's the guy, because that's the guy he hired at Cincinnati. And John Bone, I believe, is the AD at USC. That was the guy that went to Cincinnati. He was at Cincinnati as the AD. He hired him, left, and now there's rumors that that's the connection. So, you know, he's turned Cincinnati into a really good program. That top 10 this year. Right. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, Luke Fickell's a guy that's certainly going to get a big job, a bigger job than Cincinnati at some point. We saw how hard they played against. You're right. You're getting about Georgia.
Hey, but, Mike, USC, real quick, though, can get anybody they want.
Yes, totally. And I just think Bienemy's a hot name. Urban Meyer at some point, like he's got to say what he has nothing else he can say. He just got hired in Jacksonville. He's got to say he's got no interest. But that
speaking of guys, by the way, another big coaching name who's on the sidelines right now, Bob Stoops, was on SiriusXM and he was asked about this vacancy as well. Keep the carousel spinning.
Well, I can't control rumors. I don't get involved in rumors. I've never acknowledged one way or the other where someone has contacted me or not, and I won't in this case either. I'm enjoying my opportunity to work with Fox. I love watching my sons, one's playing and one's on the sideline coaching. But, you know, in life you just never know whatever fits you just perfectly. And I'm not saying this does. Listen, they're going to go through a list of coaches that are already on the field that probably can't even talk to them until the season's over. So, you know, I didn't ask for my name to be attached to this, but I can't help it that it is.
I almost get the impression he's shaking his head, but he's waving his hands like, bring it. You know what I mean? It's like, no, yes. So, again, he was in the Mickey Mouse XFL for a minute. He was coaching the team, I guess, in Dallas, I guess, and then that thing went haywire. Real quick for tonight, Thursday Night Football, the WTF's taking on the Big Blue. Billy Price will be center for the Giants tonight. So Daniel Jones will have his hand on the tuchus of the former first-round pick they traded B.J. Hill for to the Bengals. So little shakeup on the Giants line, Carl, going into tonight against that rugged WTF defense.
What's Saquon Barkley's situation?
Great question. I wish they'd give you some definitive answers for fantasy owners. He's listed as questionable.
And gamblers. Hey, man, coming up, you're going to hear Arthur Smith with us exclusively on Dukes and Bell as he addressed all the things we asked next.
The most important story of the day.
We won't waste any time because we know Coach is busy getting ready for Tampa Bay. And every Wednesday, we get a chance to talk to Arthur Smith, head coach of our Atlanta Falcons. And, Coach, it's good to have you back on the show. Obviously, not the result we wanted last week, but I want to start with how do you fix the issues up front with the O-line? It's been a big topic of conversation this week here on the show. How do you go about trying to fix some of those issues?
Well, yeah, I mean, first off, you look at everything. But, you know, some of it is it fundamental? Can you correct it? And if that's the case, then, you know, we all got to earn our pay here and work through it and fix it fundamentally. But if it's something else, then you got to make the hard choices and shuffle guys in and out. So there's a fine line, you know, when you're playing rookies or playing young guys in certain spots, there's some growing pains. It's not all gloom and doom. Obviously the end result is not what we wanted. But you know, there's a fine line between jerking the wheel and panicking.
Right.
And giving somebody a chance to make sure they can correct it, and then if it doesn't get corrected, then all right, then you got to do something else. But so that's kind of where we're at right now, and that's everything. We got to play better in all three phases, clearly.
The couple drives, I mean, to start the game, sitting in the stands, they're like, wow, look, we're going right down the field, and everything seems to be working. Some big throws to Ridley, and things were really cooking. Are you putting that in right now? You script your plays? How does that work? Because the first couple of series looked great, other than once we got inside the 10.
Yeah, it was really, sadly, it was inside the 4.
Right.
So, you know, and that's not, you know, saying that being a smart A or anything. It's just, that's what happened. So, no, we have your opening thoughts and the way we wanted to start the game. That's why I use that golf analogy. It's like we hit a pretty good tee shot, and then obviously we hit it into the sand after that. So, I haven't been a part of many games where you have 40 offensive snaps and 3 drives and only 6 points. Clearly not good enough. But, we got some things. It's correctable. It starts with me. I got to do a better job. And, you know, when you don't do that, I mean, that's life in the NFL. I mean, you're still sitting. It's ugly, but you're in a 15-6 ball game in the middle of third quarter, and we don't do anything with it. So that's the disappointing part is, you know, we didn't overcome that. You know, like most weeks, maybe one or two games a year where, you know, things happen and make a lot of mistakes, but it's usually a dogfight, and we didn't get into the heavyweight round there and lost it. So disappointed, but we got 16 games ahead of us.
It is Coach Arthur Smith, guys, here with us on Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach, we're still trying to get to know you. We're still trying to understand what you're trying to do offensively, and that's going to take some time. But is there a reason why Kyle Pitts was not on the field in the red zone? And is that a philosophy thing? Working him in? How do you look at that?
Yeah, look, those are – when things go wrong, like, let's be real. That's a real kind of surface-thinking narrative. Like, sometimes it's as practical as a guy's tired. He was in there in the plays before. I mean, we got a lot of guys you scheme around. And that play right there, there's certain plays and certain concepts we feel good, whether it's Hayden or him. So those are the easy ones to criticize. But sometimes it's as simple as there's something going on and a guy comes out and the next guy's got to go up. It's happened a million times where you may have schemed something up for A.J. Brown. He had an issue and the next guy's up and the next guy scores. So that's what happens in some of those. We're clearly in tune about who's in there and who's not.
Because I know the procedure, that was a tough one, but I know that, as you know, I think you commented on it last week saying fans got out of your meant to temper their expectations as he absorbs as much of the playbook as he needs to, or is that a continuing process?
Yeah, it's a continuing process. I mean, if you can see, there's a lot of ways we use those guys, and he's done a nice job. I mean, he's ahead of most rookies I've ever been around tight ends. Now, there's certain things that, you know, you plan – to get, you know, somebody might be the primary and the defense has to say they take it away and you go backside or you go to the second option. So, and there's sometimes you can, if you want to force something in there, whether you want to get them a screen or, try to in there guarantee somebody gets the ball, you know, those are ways to do it too. So, like I said, the way that thing started in those first three drives, we felt like we were pretty balanced. We got behind the sticks and then it was ugly when it became one dimensional.
Coach, what do you think we have to do to have success running the ball against the Bucs? Let's turn the page because that's our next opponent Sunday. I know you got guys back today, and I know that, you know, you're starting to install things. What do you think we have to do to have success running the ball against them?
Yeah, they present a hell of a challenge. You know, they've been damn good against stopping the run. It's twofold. One, they got good players and good scheme. The other thing is they've been in a lot of games where they've been ahead, and so the rush attempts are down. You've seen teams try to attack them. I know Bruce Arians talked about it. You know, we're going to see screens, things like that. Certainly teams have tried that route. Now you don't want to be hard-headed. If there's a brick wall in there and you know, it's a 10-man box, you know, we got to do something else. But we played them in 19 when I was in Tennessee. Again, it's going to be a physical game Sunday. We'll be smart about it, but we're, again, going to try to stay balanced. And then sometimes, you know, you can get certain screens or you swing the ball out there or the way you look at it, and they're essentially runs or some quick game too. So there's other ways to stay balanced, but and that's what we'll try to do, and we'll be smart about it.
It's our weekly visit with Coach Arthur Smith, guys, here on the WadeFord.com hotline in the Falcon Report. I know Carl asked you about what's going on with Mayfield in the line. Looking at Dahlman, exploring all the options this week as well?
Yeah, look, guys, Jalen's a rookie. You know, we had a bunch of injuries to start camp. He played tackle in college. And that's what, you know, we had to. We knew we had a plan. We wanted to get him to compete in there. And then, you know, we had him at guard reps. Right. And then Josh Andrews, you know, breaks his hand in a freak thing on a last week. So, whatever, I'm losing sight of the days here. But I'll run it together. But, you know, that's life. And so the guys got to get ready to play. And we got a lot of faith in Jalen. He's in his first game as a rookie. There's certainly it's not all his fault, but when that's life as a lineman. When they notice you, it's usually not a good thing. And that happens, you know, late in the game against a really good player. And I expect him to bounce back. But again, like if anybody, if it's somebody it's struggling, yeah, every option's on the table.
Coach, you had the number two red zone offense in the NFL as an OC with the Titans. Now you're the head coach here. I'm just curious, why did you have so much success there with the offense in the red zone? And then does any of that translate here?
Well, certainly. You know, again, like we went through our struggles there. And when you get in a rhythm, and that's why I believe in balance and, you know, being able to work the ball around. So I think what happens when teams continue to struggle is when you become obvious. When you get down there all of a sudden and then you're starting to play isolation, and they can take that away from you. They say, hey, they're only targeting player A, player B. They get inside the 10. It's the only place the ball is going. and defense, they're smart too, and they take it away. You know, and it's you got to be able to move the ball around. You got to have multiple ways to do it. And we had our struggles in Tennessee, and we broke through on the other side, and that's my anticipation. I can't predict when, you know, when it happens. It needs to happen sooner than later. But that helped. It helped because we balanced and we had a really unselfish team. So we went down there, we didn't feel like we had to force the ball to one particular person. Usually it naturally works itself out. And so that's kind of where our philosophy was down there.
It's Coach Archer Smith with us, guys, here on the WadeFord.com hotline. It's our Falcon Report brought to you by our buddies at Domino's. We talked about the penalties earlier, Coach. Some of those, and I don't want to put words in your mouth because I know the NFL will fine you for it, but some of those pass interference calls were a bit sketchy.
Yeah.
Again, I don't want to jam you up, but that's
I appreciate it.
It changes the complexion of the game if you get some of those first downs when it was a one possession game.
Sure. I guess the best way to answer that without criticizing, because again, those guys have a hard job and things happen. And sometimes the optics of it, it's bang. But the intent, when you're playing against a zone team, you're not running pick plays. And so, you know, some of those, the flat defender happened to be tucked all the way inside. And, you know, you're running against zone and the optics of it, whether he ran it, I mean, you know, it's just, they called it. There's nothing, not a damn thing I can do about it other than say, look, that's not, nobody's running pick plays versus zone. They have a hard job. I get it. Certainly, you know, it's, you wish it hadn't happened. We'll try to find ways to make sure that we don't, we're smarter about it so we don't have those collisions, I guess is the best way I can put it.
Right. Yeah.
And again, you know, I'm trying not to get fined here.
No doubt. We don't want you to get fined. We'll have a GoFundMe for you, Coach. It's Arthur Smith here on Dukes and Bell. The scheme was excellent. It was crap call. We can say that. You can't. Are you amazed at Tom Brady? He's 45 doing this.
Yeah, he's one of a kind. And like I said, I mean, the thing about Tom that I have so much appreciation for is, and I kind of said this earlier today when I was talking in the press conference there, and I mean this, I don't know of a guy that's handled situational football at that position better than Tom Brady. I mean, you just go years and years. I mean, think about some of the Super Bowls they didn't win. I mean, they came down to the last play. Mm. And so if you make mistakes, he's going to expose you. You have substitution errors, he exposes you. You bust coverages, he exposes you. So that's the challenge. It's a great challenge. It's fun. Again, that's what we signed up for. You want to play the best. And he certainly got a very strong argument as being the best.
I know that we saw the Cowboys game, and everyone gets into comparative scores and what they were doing there. But your defense, I know we've talked about you tip your cap to the Eagles' offensive line. They were really stout. I know Coach Pease was trying to do and throw as much as he could. But how do you try to generate some pass rush on a guy like that?
Yeah, there's different ways. You know, same thing. Different challenge, different quarterback. You know, obviously we didn't affect Hurts the way we, you know, wanted to, and that's a credit to the Eagles and credit to him. You know, a couple of times we got guys free and he made a play and we didn't. So it's the same thing as you're looking at, you know, whether red zone scheme, third down, whatever you're doing, is it sound schematically? Did you get home? Yes. Okay. Why didn't we finish it? You know, you look at those reasons. Each week provides a different challenge. And again, at the end of the day, I told the team, you got to play in all three phases. We made some critical errors that alter the game, and eventually you don't score enough points, you're going to put too much pressure on the defense. But if you're sitting there and you hope that you have more points than six in the third quarter and they're, you know, they held them, it's not perfect and it's 15-6, like, we need to be able to break through the other side. And then Unfortunately you get in there where you have to chunk it all over the yard and, you know, you have to go for it. You're down 16 and, you know, they pad some points late and then the final score looks really crappy, you know, for the defense. And it's not on the defense. It's all three phases. So, kind of look at it, but we got to get better everywhere. But it's not gloom and doom. We still got 16 games.
Yeah, and just last thing, do you believe you can fix a majority of the things as far as the penalties and the being locked in and, you know, the red zone? You feel like all those things can be fixed, right?
Certainly. I mean, look, if we didn't have, you know, guys that could get open or, you know, weren't open or something like that, you know, and it was just a tough, and you're like, you know, we're not there. I mean, so there's things that we feel that are correctable. But again, that's the challenge. That's the name of this whole thing. That's why I compared it earlier. It's like, you know, a season, there's a lot of million sports analogy, but it's like trying to go win a major in golf. Like, yeah, we hit one off the, you know, we screwed up the first hole.
Right.
You got 71 more holes, and can you continue to play well? And that's why I always appreciate those guys. You know, that's a grind. You know, a guy comes out hot on a Thursday, he fades by Saturday. Or the guys that, you know, they're in it at the end, it's the same thing right here. This first part of the season, can we get better? We need to win football games. Can we be better in October and November and December? And those are the teams that usually consistently play in the tournament in January.
And there he is, man. The coach yesterday, Arthur Smith, you'll get him every week on a Wednesday here on Dukes and Bell. And, Carl, the listeners, and we've talked about a lot of Falcon fans, I mean, there's no patience. There is no state of grace. There is no period of waiting so far. So people are hot. It was not obviously a good showing. And, you know, people are saying coach takes a lot of heat on this, especially if some of these guys did not and were not prepared, did not have the reps in preseason that you and I spoke about.
No doubt. We'll see where it goes. We got to talk about it. We'll get more into the specifics tomorrow with Chuck Smith. What do we got for game winner, brother?
Hey, man, this is Chris, our engineer. 500 of the Rolling Stones' best songs have just been released, right? The Stones came up with their list. They're based on the primo 500 definitive best Rolling Stones songs. That's how big the catalog is. Chris's suggestion tonight, a musical one, Carl. What is the greatest, not your favorite, the greatest song of all time?
Ooh, wow.
There can be only one. And again, no wrong answers here. 404-741-0929. The greatest song of all time.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question.
All right, man, Rolling Stone magazine does this every couple of years. They come out with the top 500 songs of all time, So there's no wrong answers, but in your mind, the greatest song. Like you feel it's your favorite song makes it the greatest song. Chris is going to give us some of the top 10 that made the cut, Carl, but I was just looking at some of my favorites. All mine are in the top 500, but they're not in the top 100. So I'm a big Guns N' Roses guy, Sweet Child of Mine, Paradise City's all in there. But, you know, I love it. I'm a hard rocking guy, man. So what is yours? If you had, in your mind, the greatest song of all time?
See, it's hard because for me, childhood memories of growing up and hearing music around the house, it was an imprint. Like, if you were to ask that question, it's hard for me to pick one song.
Right.
But one that resonates with me is Sam Cooke's Change Gonna Come.
Nice.
Hearing that song and hearing it, it just, I don't know what it is, maybe my parents playing it, but I just hear that song and it always makes me think about certain things.
Right.
So that's one, but like, I can't pick just one hip hop song, Mike, that I like that's my all time favorite over every other song that I've ever heard.
That
I can't do it.
Came in number three, by the way. That's like, see, like for me, it takes me back to a time and place. Blue Monday by New Order. You know, and again, it's a song. If you don't know it, I recognize that. That's just one that it's just the soundtrack of my high school years. You know, and getting into clubs.
Was Marvin Gaye's "What's Going On" there?
Where'd that, Chris? Where'd that come in?
Yes, it was. That was
number six. Number six.
See, that's another one. Like you, I hear that. And I don't know. So it's hard for me to pick one. But man, hey, UGK made the list. That's what's up. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
All right, man.
ATL so, represent, by the way.
Outcast, no doubt.
Hey Ya, number 10.
Hey Ya, number 10. How about
that? That's a huge song for them, man. Huge.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. The greatest song of all time in your mind.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
There's only one song that a baseball game breaks out the middle of. It's got to be Paradise by the Dashboard Lights by Meatloaf.
We see where Meatloaf came in, by the way. And that, by the way, that whole album, that's one of the greatest albums of all time, Bad Outta Hell. There's not a bad track on that record, man. It's very theatrical. It's just awesome stuff. That's, again, it's another record of my childhood, man. I was like 10 when that sucker came out. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What's the greatest record of all time for you?
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to say my favorite song of all time, or not the favorite, but the greatest, has got to be Stairway to Heaven.
Nice. Chris, where did Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven come in?
It was number 61, also my greatest song of all time, and I think that is criminally underrated.
That's not right. That's not right, Carl. That's not right.
Earth, Wind, and Fire, September was 65. Come on now.
Yeah, I was going to say, Rolling Stone puts this list together every couple of years. You know, I mean, where was Satisfaction by the Stones?
That was, I believe, number 5.
All right, that's an there you go. That's
yeah, that should be in there. That, I agree with that.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. In your mind, there's no wrong answers here, baby. Screw the critics. What's your greatest song of all time?
What's going on, Mike Bell?
Hey,
this is Wayne and Decatur.
Hey.
Hey, look. Hey, yeah, Purple Rain, Bar None, Prince, Purple Rain, bro. Purple
all right, Chris, Rain. Where did Purple Rain come in on the list?
That was in the top 20.
Yeah, I didn't want to be biased because I'm a huge Prince fan. That's easy for me. That's why I said I can't pick because I could give you 5 Prince songs that should be in the top 20. Right. Seriously. Like
When Doves Cry was right up there, too.
That's how strong Prince was as a songwriter. And how is Grandmaster Flash and the Furious 5 sit 59? Come on, man. The message changed hip-hop forever.
He's right. By the way, where was Blank Control by Prince? Did that make the list? Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us? Your greatest song of all time.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I have to say Man in the Mirror, Michael.
In the Mirror by Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
I'm in the man in the mirror. By the way, I watched the other night on Showtime the documentary on Rick James. Have you seen that yet?
It's amazing.
It's freaking great.
It's amazing.
It is so cool. Where's Super Freak, Chris, if you can find it?
I do have Public Enemy of Fight the Power, number 2.
No way, Jose. Pretty cool, man. They say Elvis was king. Sing it, Carl.
Yeah, you know what, though? That song, man, it was. There's so much to it. And at the time, I'm with you on that. I don't know if it's 2, but I think it's one of the top.
No, I would not have it at 2. But I mean,
35 just, songs, maybe, yeah.
Hey, first man. Beatles song, by the way, comes in at number 7. Can you guys guess which one it is?
Yesterday?
No.
Really? Not Yesterday?
Carl? Plenty to choose from.
I mean,
I know that's what I'm saying. If it's not yesterday, I would have said yesterday too.
What is it?
Strawberry Fields Forever.
Oh, no way.
I mean, there's so many great. Yeah. I mean, you know what? This list is stupid now. You know what, Carl?
Number 8. Way. I am not joking. Missy Elliott. Get your freak on.
Get your freak on. Wow. Get your freak on.
It's funny because so for years and years this thing was sort of leaning one way, and now it's definitely leaning over to R&B and hip hop. It's good though. I mean, people deserve to get their praise that they deserve.
Well,
but it's interesting because so for years though, Carl, just like it's funny when you're watching the Rick James documentary, MTV was so one dimensional. I mean, Rolling Stone is truly embracing all things, man, as they should.
Well, let me ask you this though, Chris, and this is what I don't know, like the panelist on this, because here's the deal: the person that's voting for, you know, Missy Elliott to be on this list is certainly not voting for some of the songs that were in the 60s or 70s or maybe they didn't grow up on.
Right.
So, I mean, you have to have a wide range of folks doing this. It can't be like, you know, 15 millennials in a room because it's going to be pretty lopsided, you know?
Right. Yeah, Chris, and your list. Hey, man, you got the final word, buddy. Your greatest song of all time. What do you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man, the last caller, I think he had the right guy but the wrong song. Number 1's got to be Thriller. Of course it's got to be Thriller.
Okay. Michael Jackson, Thriller.
Carl, I do have an answer for you, by the way.
Okay.
More than 250 artists, writers, and industry figures in music and pop culture helped to curate the list.
There we go. That's what's up. So that's why it's so diverse, and it should be, but I was going to say, if you're of one generation or one particular genre, that'd be a problem. Hey guys, great job. Tonight, as always, this show is protected by Mimecast. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, risk of ransomware. That's Mimecast. MIMECAST.com. Hey, the email of the day, it is, coming way by, who is this? This is Kevin. Kevin was talking about Dean Pease's comments earlier. Kevin says, fellas, hearing Dean Pease, I can't necessarily blame him if the head coach didn't want guys to play to not risk injury. Although he's the defensive coordinator, is it his call to say, hey, my guys are playing or they're not playing? Either way, we've got to be better than we were last week. Mike, what do you think about that? That's kind of interesting because I think Arthur Smith was reluctant to play guys because he knows they don't have a lot of depth.
No, I mean, guys, we turned over nearly half the roster on this team. So, but I mean, at some point, though, there's got to be a happy medium between protecting players and getting some degree of experience for your guys as a unit, which did not happen certainly on defense, we learned on Sunday.
Let's get out of here and clear our throat.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
Hey, thanks to Brooks Lennon from Atlanta United. Let's keep it rolling. We'll talk more about the match tomorrow with Jason Longshore. We've got DC United coming in here. We got to keep winning. Also, big shout out and thanks to Jacob Tui OT Mariner, who stopped by. Defensive lineman. He's an edge rusher, actually, on the Falcons. Great interview. He's fun, man. And Mike and I said, the kid loves volleyball. So you called him what? Side Out, right? Is that what the nickname was?
That was that crappy movie with C. Thomas Howell.
It really was. It really was. But he loves volleyball, grew up on it, and said, hey, man, I didn't start playing football until I got into high school.
Hey, maybe we'll make him a regular. His dad. Next time we'll talk about rugby because his father, American Samoan, was a big rugby star.
All right. Vince Dooley, the legendary Vince Dooley. Thanks, Coach, for coming on today. And also you heard from Arthur Smith as well. All right. Tomorrow, more big guests. As well on a Friday, should be. Hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgating home. We'll tell you what we got cooking for the weekend as we head towards another great college football and NFL weekend here on Dukes and Bell. Be here at 2 o'clock. Chris, we call him Turtle, behind the glass, our engineer. Bo Morgan, executive producing. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, it's been a magical year for the prohibitive favorite to be the American League Most Valuable Player, Shohei Ohtani, but they're going to have to shut him down, Carl. His right arm is not getting any better. Joe Maddon telling the media before today's game against the White Sox that if there's any kind of lingering soreness, you might not see him pitch again. So, again, that historic performance in the All-Star game, home run, leader, all that. On an unrelated story, but it's still the Angels who just can't catch a break. Mike Trout also probably not going to play. He's played less games this year than he did last year in a 60-game season.
Wow.
And he's 30, and he's supposed to be one of the best players. But, man, the Angels, did all right considering that they didn't have Trout for much of the season. But Ohtani looks like he's going to be shut down pitching.
All right, man. We've got Thursday Night Football for you, so make sure you stay here. We're your home for the NFL. Brady joked today. Was he tongue-in-cheek saying, hey, the possibility of playing until 50? Here's what's crazy. I think he could do it. I think with his regiment and the way he takes care of his body and the things he does and his commitment, he could do it. Now, do I want to see it? No. But if anybody could do it, that guy could do it. Hey, man, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you're Squid Billy's neighbor. How in the hell is Indian Outlaw by Tim McGraw not on that top 500? You stupid meathead.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.